I'm Joshua Walker. I'm a transatlantic fellow at the German Marshall Fund. I've been at Princeton, Yale, and focused most of my energies on the academic exploration of Turkey and its role in its region. I had the chance to go to ODTÜ for a year as a Fulbright scholar. I also worked at the embassy briefly and at the State Department. Almost every example I can think of as a political movement or as a religious movement has been focusing on the golden principle, which whether it's in Christianity or whether it's in Judaism or whether it's in Islam, it's doing unto others what you want them to do to you. So it's treating your neighbor with kindness. It's treating your enemy with more kindness and bringing these people closer. That, in my mind, seems to be the most successful model in terms of eliminating or at least minimizing radicalism around the world.
You're right. Actually, in the three divine religions, Abrahamic three divine religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, there is compassion, mercy, love, tolerance, justice, freedom of thought, freedom of worship. For example, in Islam, Christians and Jews are called people of the book, and they have to be treated very nicely, kindly, Allah says. Allah says, argue with them only in the kindest way. And Muslim men are allowed to marry Jewish and Christian wives. We can socialize with them, eat their meals. So basically, radicalism and violence and terrorism is definitely against Quran, against Bible, and against Gospel, and against Torah. Mm-hmm.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, when I lived in Turkey, I was there over the month of Ramadan, and it was fascinating to me because my father is a pastor, an evangelical pastor, and so I decided that I would fast, because if you're living in Turkey and all your friends are fasting and they're having to get up for the sahur and the iftar, I felt very çok ayıp oldu yani. You go to somebody's house and they're eating iftar for the first time, and I've had food all day, I eat it. I said, no, I'm going to fast. So I fasted, and it was an amazing time, and it was funny because many of my friends in Turkey, they looked at me strangely and said, why are you fasting? You don't have to. And I said, I don't have to, but I want to. And that should be the spirit. I think all of us come together. And being able to say, look, we are one people under the book, and so we're able to understand and appreciate. Even if we have different names that we call Allah or God or any of these things, we have an appreciation for one another. And to me, being able to learn more, most of my best friends in Turkey happen to be very conservative, devout Muslims. Some of the people I have the biggest problems with are the ones who think that, you know, they have the rules on what it means to be Turkish or what it means to be a good Muslim. In my mind, there's only one person that can make that judgment, and that's God himself. When I look at the world today in the 21st century, many of the countries, many of the regions that we talk about are former empires, and in many ways they seem to be going back in their past, not to recreate an empire like in the past where it was empires of swords, but it's an empire of ideas. And so if Turkey can be a leader in that way, even though Turkey itself is only maybe 80 million people, there are many Turks around the world, there are people who have linguistic and ethnic connections, whether it's in Azerbaijan or Central Asia, this might be a way to unite them in some way where they can come together and say, look, we can find a way to solve our differences by having compromises and discussions. And Turkey's already leading the way in this as the first Muslim country that has truly free and fair elections, that had relations with Israel. I mean, it is a model in a lot of different ways. I know the government doesn't like to hear this in terms of model. It wants to be an inspiration. But I think the people who are protesting in Syria want what Turkey has. I think that you're right in the sense that politicians tend to have short-term problems and not long-term objectives because they will not be there forever, right? And I think, you know, as we've seen between Turkey and Israel, the last 2 years have been very difficult, right? The Turkish people and the Jewish people have a long history of working together, and there are no closer friends in the Middle East, in my opinion, than the Turks and the Jews. And as a result, what's happened in the last 2 years has been particularly painful for any friend of Turkey and anybody who sits in Washington or in Jerusalem or in Istanbul or in Ankara, because what's happening seems to be unnatural. There's a political problem. There was a major mistake that was made on the seas with the flotilla incident. There was also other problems in terms of Netanyahu's view versus Erdogan's view. But these are all political problems that I think that can be resolved. And unfortunately, many of the people of the most goodwill on both sides have not been able to have their way. And when I look at the people of the region, and when I look at the people and the businesses and what they're doing, they seem to be pushing the same direction. They want to have more closer integration. You know, many people say that religion divides everyone, and it's the reason that many of the 20th century wars began, and they blame religion. As a person of faith myself, I tend to reject that. Religion, as something that a human being tells another human being, may be the cause of major problems. But religion or a faith in which you have a deep experience or a spiritual awakening with your own creator, I don't see how that can be a bad thing. I don't see how the way in which we have our experience with the supernatural and our creation cannot help us bring us together. I think the problem sometimes is people substitute real thinking and deep theological faith-based exploration with simply listening talking to someone else, and someone says, these people are bad, you need to make sure that you kill these people because they're not like us. That's been a political tool that many political leaders have used throughout history, and using religion in the name of that is something that I think that is a particularly dangerous thing. It's something that I hope that one day there'll be a reckoning, because in my mind, that's one of the worst sins that a person can commit. Many people in Europe are very concerned about this religious awakening in Turkey, and many people in America. But as an American, I can assure you, Turkey looks much more like America in terms of the way in which we express our religion. And so we don't have the same straight, narrow interpretation of laïcité or laïc system like the French do. And so as a result, in my mind at least, there's no contradiction between these. There is no problem between having a democratic structure, having a Muslim majority population, and having women with headscarves who want to walk around the malls and enjoy the comforts of modern life. There's no contradiction. It's very clear that if you go to Turkey and you experience these places, whether it's in Ulus and Istanbul that used to only have a certain type of people, or other areas along the Bosphorus, things are changing in Turkey. And I tend to be an optimist and think that things are changing for the better. The only thing I would say is, when you talk about Turkey having a better democracy than America and the Europeans, inshallah. I would be 100% in support of that, and I wish that more Americans and more Europeans were sincere in hoping that for Turkey. So, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Adokuz, congratulations on your 1 year of being on the air. Much more success in the future.